College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to you. We made it. Good to be with you. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne.
Fireworks going. Yeah.
You did it. You made it happen.
Did that show up on your screen? Okay, good.
Showed up on mine.
Every now and then I randomly do a facial hand gesture and it creates some kind of special effect.
Now you're doing it intentionally.
So now the YouTubers can see me creating the fireworks. You can watch us on YouTube, everybody.
You know what I just noticed?
You want to get a little dose of excitement, titillation this early in the morning? Watch the YouTube.
You know what I just noticed? You caved.
What did I do?
You caved.
What?
Look at your face.
I caved on many things. Look at
your face.
Oh, my mustache.
Yeah, it's gone.
I had a feeling yesterday that I didn't, you know, between the protests of my wife trying to hold me down, basically castrate me. Yeah. She didn't like the mustache, but then I was in a little bit of a funk yesterday. I was like, you know what? I haven't earned this mustache. My senior year in college, Sean, I remember, I think I told you, I'd showed up. Me and my buddy Rich Sheeran had said, like, you know what? Let's not cut our hair all summer long. And this is back in the day when, you wouldn't see your friends for an entire summer.
That's right.
Sometimes they'd come back and they'd gain 30 pounds of muscle or whatever. We didn't have any. We couldn't FaceTime each other.
Right.
So we were like, all right, let's not cut our hair. So we get back for the first day of training camp, and Rich, of course, had a high fade. But meanwhile,
he hung you out to dry. Nice friend.
Yeah, totally. I felt bad. I mean, he's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And he worked in like some New Jersey type place, like some kind of chemical processing plant or something.
Oh, gotcha.
Outside cleaning tanks all summer.
Oh, yeah.
So I got it for him. I mean, I worked on a farm. It wasn't like it was any better.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I had a long, glorious head of hair. I looked like a Greek god. And then after one of the early games, I felt like I was just disgusted with myself about the way I played, and I shaved it all off. Spartan. Yeah. So yesterday, after I was beating myself up over that really stupid error I made earlier in the show about the Guardians offense.
Were you?
Remember that?
I do.
Remember when I got it exactly the opposite?
I do.
Trying to look up stats during the show.
You said the Guardians expected.
Yeah. Don't even repeat it.
Okay.
Don't even repeat it.
I'm mustacheless now, all right? It's a new Seth.
Like, I got to get back to basics. I'm going to shave my mustache.
I like it, man. That's good. You take an inventory.
Almost every single woman I've ever asked about whether or not I should keep my beard or shave, they don't even hesitate. They're like, keep your beard.
Really?
Brandy likes it when I have a beard.
Yeah, you rock the beard well, and you never grow it way out. You've always got it grown right to the proper length. It looks good on you.
I've got a freakishly large head, so it's good. I think it's good to cover up some of the real estate sometimes. It's like you're looking at the Sahara Desert
I was going to say the Pacific Ocean, but swath of land.
Let's add some landscaping on there, fella.
Yeah, that's smart. I never thought of it that way.
I have not asked a single woman who has said, like, oh, no, I like you. Seth, you look better when you're clean shaven. And yet here I am, clean shaven.
Clean shaven.
So this is my gift to Brandy to make me a little bit less appealing to other women out there.
Less attainable.
Yeah, don't worry, Brandy. Women won't be throwing their panties at me when I'm at the grocery store like they typically do.
Are you, how fired up are you for the Rangers coming to town, man?
I'm freaking psyched.
Scale
That's
of 1 to 10.
Out of my depression.
You sound like a 13 on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, man. You're fired
up.
You know
what's funny? I was in some kind of a funk yesterday. Mm-hmm. I went for like an hour and a half long walk on a nature trail, and that helped out a little bit. But then there was something. I was getting ready to watch the Astros. It's 7:10 p.m. last night, and I told Brandy, I was like, do we have to stop, do we need to stop watching this movie? And she said, no, what are you talking about, you idiot? You mustachioed moron. And
this is pre-shave.
And I thought, oh, yeah, okay, I'll take a little break. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, the Rangers series starts tomorrow.
Today.
And I've got 3 days. I've got a weekend of hatred versus the Rangers.
It's gonna be fun.
Christian
man.
Walker coming back from paternity leave, and hopefully everything was great there.
Yeah, man.
Quick little note. A conversation I had with somebody yesterday. Because, you know, a lot of people, it's one of those things people are hesitant to say out loud, but they're still kind of, still turn the side eye to paternity leave. What I always remind myself if I start to have some of those caveman tendencies is, man, you never know what might be going on with any kind of a delivery process. Or anything,
I always caveat my paternity leave takes with that because I am a little old school that way. I'm like, all right. And once the kid's born and everybody's healthy, get on the plane, get back. Yeah. I am kind of that way. But yes, you never know what's going on medically with somebody. Absolutely.
I would never want to be in the position of being like, back in my day, you wouldn't see your wife for 7 weeks at a time after she had a baby. No, you never, there's complications, there's all those things. So you just never, blanket policy is I try not to be a side-eyed about that.
Yes.
But you do get Christian Walker back.
Get him back.
Who was on a hell of a tear.
Yes.
When, you know, can he replicate what he was doing before paternity leave now? And typically what we've seen with Astros players, Alex Bregman and the like, is you have a baby and all of a sudden you do go on a tear.
Yeah, man. That's what happened with Bregman a few years ago. I think what needs to happen with Christian Walker, because when we last saw him, it was at Chavez Ravine in L.A. where he rakes. He's really good there. If we could ask Astro fans to, when Christian Walker comes up, just change into Dodger gear just for 5 minutes so it feels like he's in Chavez Ravine, anything to help the squad, man.
We should go find some of those old placards on eBay from the COVID games.
Oh, the cardboard.
Remember when the
people?
Astros when the Astros played at Dodger Stadium in the playoffs in the bubble? They were smacking those Dodgers placards upside the face with home runs all over the place.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It was fun. It was like all those placards of Dodgers fans who had probably, you know, told their children to cheer for Altuve to get hit in the face.
Yeah.
They were getting hit in the face.
They were.
With home run balls. It was awesome.
What a weird time. Zach Greinke sitting in the crowd.
Yeah, where are the Astros playing in the AL playoffs this year? Dodger Stadium. How many were in attendance? Ooh, they had 20,000 placards. It was pretty impressive.
How many people or how many cardboard people? There are a lot of cardboard people. Bryce Matthews called up yesterday to the big club.
I wish I could be more excited about this, except so much of it is that it's a desperation move. I don't think the organization really thinks he's ready to be up here right now.
He's going to play. Like, this isn't this is not one of those guys who's getting called up because you have to feel, you know, you have to have 26 guys on the roster. So let's go grab Zach Short or Cooper Hummel or Shea Whitcomb or this guy. I mean, there's been plenty. I haven't even touched on the pitchers that they've had to do that with. Bryce Matthews is a legitimate product. This is closer to a Cam Smith situation than it is a Shea Whitcomb situation, right?
He's 100%. Yes, he's 100%. Obviously, the number one prospect in the system.
He's going to play,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But people, I mean, you got to look at the splits and everything else. There's a reason that Guillorme and Zach Short and Shea freaking Whitcomb have been called up ahead of him multiple times.
Yeah.
He's got a 30% strikeout rate. And you might look at his overall numbers and think like, hey, yay. He's got a 1,077 OPS in road games in the Pacific Coast League, which is full of hitter-friendly ballparks.
Yeah.
At home, he's got a 598 OPS.
Right.
His contact rate is really low. Like, there's a lot of reasons that you would think, okay, boy, he's showing a lot of promise. Steals bases like a bandit.
Yes.
But he needs polish. So it's a little bit of a – it's something that I'm sure they're not comfortable doing, and yet you kind of got to just take a swing at it and feel – and maybe some guys – they get to that higher level of competition, you get the bright lights and everything else, and they thrive and they meet the challenge.
Well,
so maybe we'll see that out.
It's something I don't think we would have seen under previous GMs, even in a desperation situation like this. This is very much Dana Brown's MO. Dana Brown is much more of a, hey man, let's throw him in the deep end and see what happens, than let's leave him down there for some seasoning. Let's see if this road home split OPS situation that you just touched on, Seth, evens itself out a little bit. That Dana Brown's mentality when it comes to prospects, combined with the desperation situation this team is in right now, they're missing so many guys that I get it. So we'll see what happens, you know, with Bryce Matthews.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And sometimes, too, regardless of what he does in the short term, I do think there is that element of it's like anything else, like a video game. You play level 6 for the first time and you get destroyed. But when you go back down to level 5, you're like, oh, this feels slow on level 5.
Yeah.
And so you get everything just, it can stoke your development.
Yeah.
So regardless of how it goes with him on this day, maybe it does kind of, it kind of stirs the embers up a little bit to keep his development going on.
The intriguing thing for me with this, just in thinking this through, and this just popped into my head just now, is that, look, the Astros, we're days away from the trade deadline. I mean, what's today, July 11th? I mean, the trade deadline's 3 weeks away. I wonder what Bryce Matthews, what his status is within the organization when it comes to Dana Brown's appetite to put him into a deal. Like, is he untouchable? Yeah. Like a Kyle Tucker situation a few years ago. I know that wasn't Dana Brown, it was Jeff Luhnow. Is he untouchable? How's he viewed around the league? You know, what are the chances we see a trade made before the trade deadline? And if so, how big a trade could that be? The bigger the trade, the better the chance you have to have a prospect like this in there. So if Bryce Matthews comes up for a couple of weeks and really hits well, is that something where he becomes a more marketable asset in a trade? Or is that something where you go, okay, well, this kid's just part of the future now, and we're going to hang on to him through the trade deadline. So I think that's just something to monitor, I guess, you know, because the Astros, I think they're going to need to make a deal somewhere. If, you know, we don't know what the Jake Meyer situation is right now. Reportedly, they'd been, you know, they've been kicking tires on Cedric Mullins from Baltimore. You know, Baltimore's going to be a seller, it looks like, at the trade deadline here. He plays center field. Jake Meyers is your center fielder. We don't know if Jake Meyers is out for 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. We have no idea right now. So I think that's something, too, with baked into the Bryce Matthews situation, for me at least, is how does the organization and how does Major League Baseball view him as a possible trade chip? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's where we've seen with Rafael Stone. Right now, for one, not afraid to elevate guys, maybe ahead of when a lot of other teams would elevate them. I like that. I don't like trying to be a miser about service time. Hey, you know what Rafael Stone did? He went out and got himself an extra 12 years of total service time when he traded away.
Dana Brown.
What did I say?
Rafael Stone.
Well, that's not the right sport. I don't feel as bad about that one as I do about that mistake I made yesterday.
Yeah.
Update. I'm very positive on Rafael Stone right now.
I am too. He's very bullish. All three GMs.
Yeah. So Dana White being able to kind of trade for whatever.
Dana Brown.
What the hell?
He said, "Yeah, the wrong color."
All right, I'm back in the funk. I'm growing the mustache during the break.
I know. I was just thinking, you were having a good week.
I'm not going to let the bastards grind me down, Sean. Nope. It's going to be a good
week. It's all right. We're up against it. I love Seth Payne so much. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Someone said Bryce, not Bruce Matthews. Did I say Bruce or did Seth say
I probably
Bruce?
Said Bruce Matthews because I have a stat about Bruce Matthews later in the show.
Oh, this is going to be an awesome show.
I felt so good.
This is, and you should. Don't worry about it. It's all good, man. Atascocita product, Bryce Matthews, people said. Yeah.
Don't you mean Pearland, Sean?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Katie Taylor.
Bryce Matthews from Pasadena, California.
That's right. Bruce Matthews, drafted by Rafael Stone out of Pearland. All right, we're off and running. Going to be a good show.
Going to be a good day, everybody.
Going to be a good day.
Going to be a good day.
This is how you get to be the best in the world. All right, kids, gather around. All right, let's shift over to the Texans for a little bit. We'll get back to the Astros in headlines. Off-season report cards are in, courtesy of Seth Walder of ESPN. Do we agree with the grade for the Houston Texans? And a grade on a team in the division that I want to get to as well. We will do that coming up next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.